The Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Let's say, sit down. Let's sit. Sit. Please, can you open the Bible, the one with you, to 2 Kings chapter 19? 2 Kings 19. I'm just trying to pick the prayer from somewhere. Now, the story here is that, which we know very well, Hezekiah, when he was attacked, when Judah was being besieged by the king of Assyria. Please, I'm just trying to see where I should read, all right? Let's just take it from the beginning of chapter 19. Now, please, I really need to back up somewhere to get some things out. Let me go somewhere. I'll just start from verse 19 of chapter 18. Then Rabshakeh said to them, "Say now to Hezekiah, thus says the great king, the king of Assyria, what is this confidence that you have? You say, but they are only empty words. I have counsel and strength for war. Now, on what do you rely?" Now, please notice that question. On what do you rely? On what do you rely that you have rebelled against me? Now, behold, you rely on that staff of this crushed reed, even on Egypt, because the king of Assyria thought that the defiance of Hezekiah was because he was relying on Egypt. And when you rely on human beings, they can disappoint you. You know, there's a man who relied on somebody, and he's so disappointed right now and confounded. You know his name. You don't know who it is. Zelensky. The president of Ukraine. I actually remember him saying it before the war began. He said America will help him. He was planning to rely on NATO. And Vladimir Putin was looking at him. I remember this was at least a year before the war broke out, when he wanted to make his moves. And he said, people were like, "How are you going to handle this?" It's not like they said it happened somewhere. Of course, I wasn't speaking his language, but they were interpreting, or was he speaking English that day? But he bragged about it, about the help of America. And when the war started, he had the help of America. He had Joe Biden as president, who gave him everything that he asked for. Gave him money, and gave him weapons of war. Then Joe Biden left office, and Donald Trump stepped in and called him a dictator and called him an undemocratic ruler and told him he was the one that was looking for trouble and began to withhold help. That was when it dawned on him he was now on his own. And the European Union, of course, it's not a member of NATO. Nobody could activate the NATO clause. European Union is now trying to help. Now they don't want. Let me not say more than that. Now Ukraine is now in trouble because Donald Trump said, "I'm not going to help you." Now, please, I'm not talking about that war or what will happen today. We're in April, the early part of April of the year 2025, because somebody may be listening to this later. We're not predicting what will happen or what will not happen. But to realize that the help of man can fail is undependable. America was their biggest defender. And then Trump simply came into power and said, I can't continue that. Anything I do, you have to pay for. Now, he didn't say it like that, but he said, look, they have to strike this. And when I heard the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, explain, it began to make a lot of sense. And they made it clear that, look, my friend, Russia is far from America. It's continental Europe that's under threat. We are not. That why are we the ones spending money? That you have to give us something that will justify our spending this amount of money. Okay, let's strike a deal concerning minerals. Well, Marco Rubio explained. Now, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, and I'm not here to teach politics. I just realized that, man, you can't rely on people. But because even me, in Nigeria, began to think that Marco Rubio is making sense. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Zelensky could not believe what was happening. And Donald Trump had expressed personal issues with him before. Can you see the way human beings' help disappeared? Here, this man thought Ezekiah was relying on Egypt. He said, look, don't rely on Egypt, though. There's like relying on trying to walk with a stick with sharp end. When you lean on it, you pierce your hand. That's what he told him. He said, look, Egypt on which a man leans, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all those who rely on him. He thought Ezekiah was relying on Egypt. Then he made him promise, if you say to me with trust in the Lord, he now made other threats. But if you say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places? He didn't know what Ezekiah was doing. He thought Ezekiah was defiling the high places of God. He said, is it not the one that whose high place Ezekiah has taken away? Now let me jump because time's sake. This was the promise now made. Make a bargain with my master. That was the man he sent. Rabshakeh was speaking, the king of Assyria. And I'll give you 2,000 horses if you can place riders on them. He said, look, okay, let's even say we're talking about God. Verse 25. Have I now come without the Lord's approval against this place to destroy it? He said, the Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. That's Satan quoting scripture there. Now all this is going on. He said to the people, don't let Ezekiah, verse 29, deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you from my hand. Don't let Ezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. He said, people, do not listen to Ezekiah. Listen to my master, the king of Assyria, who is saying, make peace with me. And come out to me and eat each of his own vine and each of his fig tree and drink each of the waters of his own cistern. He was saying all of that. He says, Ezekiah saying, God will deliver you. Don't disbelieve him. Verse 33, has any of the gods of the nations delivered his land from the hand of the king of Assyria? He said, no, they have not done so. Because as at this time, he had already, sacked Northern Israel. This is Judah now that is attacking. He said, who among all the gods of the lands have delivered their land from my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem from my hand? Now the people were excited, didn't say anything. They now went and reported to Ezekiah. Now please notice verse 1 of chapter 19. Ezekiah heard it, he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and entered the house of the Lord. Then he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, to Isaiah. Please, you can see I'm jumping some lines to make my reading quicker. To Isaiah the prophet. He said, this day is a day of distress, rebuke, and rejection. For children have come to birth, and there is no strength to deliver. Perhaps the Lord, your God, will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to reproach the living God and rebuke the words which the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, offer a prayer for the remnant that is left. So the servants of Ezekiah said this to Isaiah. Now Isaiah said to them, thus you shall say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid because of the words. Now please listen to this carefully. Thus you shall say to your master, Do not be afraid because of the words that you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will put a spirit in him so that he will hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will make him fall by the sword in his own land. Now, please, again, Rabshakeh was still taunting the people. Verse 10, thus you shall say to Hezekiah, king of Judah, do not let the God in whom you trust deceive you. He said, look, no God has been able to help anybody against me, or even my fathers. Then verse 14, let's go to 14. Then Hezekiah took the letter from the hand of the messenger and read it. And he went up to the house of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord, the God of Israel, who is enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. He said, incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see, and listen to the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. That's the king of Assyria. Truly, the things he said, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have devastated the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were not gods, but the works of man's hands, wood and stone. So they have destroyed them. Now, O Lord, our God, I pray, deliver us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, O Lord, are God. I pray we learn how to pray simply and sincerely. It's a prayer. I told you before, a lot of Pentecostal prayer is nothing but cacophony. We make a lot of noise. We like to gyrate. We like to jump. Stand on our heads, do all kinds of things. We actually feel righteous doing these things sometimes. If you have faith in your heart, look, many of the things we do, let them be just for the building up of faith. When prayers will be said, say it directly. Say it simply. The man said, look, this man has threatened. And Lord, going by the things that we have seen in previous times, his threats are very valid. Every nation that he had gone to, they had gods, but their gods could not deliver the people. He said, but what's the reason? They were not true gods. They are idols of wood and stone. But this man, being powerful, is clear. We can see them. We can see it. He said, but you alone are God. You are the provider. You are the defender. You are the healer. I'm adapting to other situations now. Now I have come to you. Help me. That's what he said. Deliver your people. Deliver them. Listen to what God now said. Then Isaiah, the son of Amon, sent to Hezekiah, I believe he too had been praying, saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, because you have prayed to me about Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard you. This is the word of the Lord. He said, this is the word that the Lord has spoken against him. Then we began to hear the things he said against Sennacherib. The summary of it is this. All the things that you were doing, Sennacherib, verse 25. He said, I planned them. I brought them to pass that you should turn, he said, I planned it and brought it to pass that you should turn fortified cities into ruinous heaps. So all this bragging you are bragging against me, I will have to call you to order. Verse 28 said, because of your raging against me, which is going on right now, he said, and because your arrogance has come up to my ears, therefore I will put my hook in your nose. And my bridle in your lips. And I will turn you back by the way which you came. I jumped quite a number of verses, just so we can get to where we are going quickly. Look, pride is a terrible thing. This man was proud. God said, all the things you are saying happened. I planned them. I determined them. But this arrogance, I will not take it. So it's time to put my control over you.
I didn't send it to where you are going. And it's insulting me. I don't like it. So what am I going to do? It's time for me to put my hook in your nose and my bridle in your lips. That is, you know the way they do animals and horses. This time it says time for me to call you to order. Now this is where I'm going to. All right, while we talked about this, let's not read further. Notice what he said. Because you have prayed to me about your problem. Now we have read what is the foundation for what I want to say and which we are going to use to pray. I said something last time. Fear is good. What did I say? If it helps you, if it redirects you to what you are supposed to do. Fear is good if you go to the Lord as a result of fear. Fear is good. When I say fear is good now, what I mean that things that bring fear, they are good if they help you to pray. They are good if they redirect your attention. They are good if they help you focus. Fear is good. Why did this man pray? Fear. No, I told you before, please, you can read in Isaiah, you can read in Chronicles, is it 2 Chronicles? You can also read, we are reading here now, the story of Ezekiah. When you put them together, you will see that man had a problem. What was the problem? Pride. Pride was his problem. So all these problems were good for him. They were good for him. They helped him to go back to the Lord. Look, let me tell you the truth. It is good that once in a while, if you're a rich person, you have a problem that money cannot solve. It's good for you. No, seriously, I mean it like that. And please, if you are listening to me and you are having problems that your strength could not help, all right? Please be very happy. Don't be angry. Which kind of country is this? No. It's not the country that's the problem. It's your good opportunity to go back to praying. Tall Reverend was leading prayer just now, and he said a problem very common with people abroad is what they stop praying. Do you know why? Power is constant. Police is only 5 minutes away. Somebody is banging on your door at 12 midnight. You don't know who it is. You pick the phone and call the police. Before the guy finishes banging, they are behind him. Put up your hands before they find that it's your friend that did not tell you it was coming. Like somebody said, I have one guy, you know, he lives abroad, you know. He has a way of, hey, why are people celebrating what is not supposed to be a special thing? One will say, but this governor pay, you know, now is better now. Those days used to have governors that owe salaries for 2-3 months. So people who paid regularly to their civil servants were honored. And it's like, why are we celebrating mediocrity? I tell him, look, you are not celebrating mediocrity, you are giving thanks. He said, because sir, he can't remember ever talking to anybody before he gets his salary. Do you understand my point? Our brother, I may be listening to this. A few days ago, he called me and told me somebody, he's a businessman, was owing him a lot of money. And I told him to go and pray. It's a lot of money. He prayed. I said, look, send the man a message and you go and pray. He did that. He went and prayed. A day or two later, about 2 days later, he sent me a message and snapped the money that I should look at it. And it's a lot of money, really a lot of money. That they just called him and counted his cash for him and gave it to him. He said, oh, guys, good to pray. Are you seeing the point I'm making?
Yes,
one man said that he has never had to ask before they pay his salary. And that man said, look, I have a testimony. I needed to collect my money. I prayed and my money came. Do you follow what I'm saying? There's a reason why James said, beloved, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials. As I had the problem, he prospered for 30-something years. And God said, but his faith had gone down. Let us reactivate his faith. And how did he do it? He sent trouble. He sent trouble. And I'm going to talk about that as we go on now. That, see, there's a prayer, let me pray for you. May your arrangements not work. Say amen.
Amen.
Let me pray again. May your own arrangements not work.
Amen.
In case you do not know, Hezekiah made arrangements first. All of this one now. He didn't get up to go and pray. Hezekiah did exactly what Asa did. He went to the temple and took money, gold, silver, and sent to Sennacherib. That one said, this is small money. This guy is sending me $10 billion. What am I going to do with $10 billion? I want to attack his whole city. When Ezekiah saw that there was no way to placate this man, he went to pray. In Asa's case, God was really angry with him. Asa was not supposed to have tried at all. Do you know why? He had experience. See, if you have experience with God, it's good and it's dangerous. Because Asa had the experience, God did not expect him to try. Look, Ezekiel didn't have. So when he first tried, God made it fail. In Asa's case, it succeeded. And the prophet Hanani came to him and said, "My God, you've done bad. Say, you've acted very foolishly." Now, there's something that happened there. If you're going to read the story of Asa, he said, "You have acted foolishly." Now, listen to this. Baasha, the king of... this was before this time. You remember, Asa was before Ezekiah. Baasha, the king of Israel, was the person that came against Asa. Asa sent to the king of... who was that he sent to them? Yes, Aram. Yes, Syria. He sent to the king of Aram to come and help him. That one had an arrangement. He had an agreement with the king of Israel, Baasha, which was also giving Baasha confidence. So he had him break his agreement with Baasha, so that he now attacked Israel, some cities in Israel. Baasha was forced to pull back from attacking Asa. Now, this is the point. When the prophet now came, you know what the prophet said? He said, "Because of this thing you have done, now listen, the army of the king of Aram has escaped from your hand." Now, they were not involved in the battle. I don't know whether you're getting my point. The fight was between Baasha, the king of Israel, and Asa, the king of Judah. Judah went to the king of Aram for help. That's Asa now. And the prophet said, now that arrangement worked. He said, "Because of that, the king of Aram that you went to for help, they have escaped from your hand." What does that tell you? If you had prayed, see that arrangement between Baasha and Aram, Aram would have come, joined the battle, they would have attacked you, and I would have destroyed both of them. Now, the enemy that I wanted to destroy for you is the one you now ran to for help. The enemy I will have destroyed for you is not the one you ran to for help. You know what? I tell people, look, let me tell you, when you have troubles in life, there will always be human arrangement. Be very careful about human arrangement. The Bible calls it kindling your own fire. And there's a destiny concerning that. You will lie down in torment. The painful part for me is that the lying down may not happen in a year. Of course, very unlikely. It may not happen in 10 years. Maybe the next 20 years before you come and lie down in torment because of the arrangement you made that God did not approve. Don't forget what I've said. Be very careful before you use your own arrangement to solve your own problem. Christians have one advantage. We are able to pray. And God listens. It is a major advantage. When you tell somebody, let me go and pray about it, it's not placating yourself. It's not making yourself feel happy. It's not a conscience or a mental balm, something you rub on your psyche so that you will calm down. It's real help. It's like, let me go and tell my father. Are you getting my point? It's like, maybe my children are in school, so they need to pay a particular fee. So they pick their phone and send a message. See, it's not, they're not trying to feel happy with the school. By the time you pick the phone and send me a message, that they were supposed to pay this particular levy. Do you know what they expect? Money. So when they tell, maybe they tell the officer of the school who's asking everybody to pay, they say, "Please, let me send a message to my father." It's not to make the man happy. It's not so that they will feel happy. They expect that, when is the deadline? The man saying 2 days. All right, no problem. I'll send my father a message now. Don't worry, by tomorrow, I should pay. Do you know it's not religion. Did you hear what I said? It's not religion. What is it? It's faith. It's faith. It's not religion. So, what I'm going to say, if I have a problem, and I say to somebody, maybe you and I are involved in something, and I say, "Let's go and pray." we actually expect help. We actually expect help. It's tangible help. It's like somebody said, let me call my father. And let me say another thing. God actually expects, is waiting for it. When problem came to Asa, he was waiting for it. He was hoping Asa would pray. For 30-something years, Asa had been reducing prayer every year because of prosperity. Did you hear what I said? For 30-something years, listen, sometimes, you know, I don't know whether you have conversations like that. Just these people that have money self. How do they manage? You know, I have some people who have my friends, all right, that have a lot of money. If somebody will use their money to yap them, there's one lady in my class. She went for a ceremony. Somebody videoed her. She was dancing. They sent it, said, see billionaire dance. Normal dance, though. You know, she was dancing. Somebody videoed her, said, see billionaire dance. She would go for marathon. One day we were joking. They said, look at this woman is running. You men in this class, you can't run. I said, why should I run? I said, give me $10 million. I will climb Kilimanjaro. It's a joke we crack in class, my classmates. We just crack. No, the lady is very, very well to do, all right? So what is helping her? That look. So that the one they said that, you guys are just lazy. This one, she runs marathon. Yeah. Periodically, you get a picture from marathon in Munich, marathon in Chicago, marathon in London. So the ladies are now helping us. You guys, not nothing that they run. I said, the boys can run, but they have to run after money first. I said, when they have caught money, they will climb Kilimanjaro. So I said, look, this is what you see. I mentioned all my guys. I said, that guy you see now, just dash off $50 billion. You see him on Mount Everest. All right, because the person you are telling us is running has the $50 million. Now, where am I going? You know, sometimes you think about it, like, so you have that kind of money. There's nothing like when they say price of car is going up, you don't even notice. In fact, when you go to buy cars, you don't ask them how much it is. It's which ones you like. And they will say, please, we'll deliver it in your house. They will look for your address. And you won't even know when they get paid. Somebody will just ask, okay, did the guy say we should take the car? The guy, did you say you take that car? He said, yes. Okay, park it here. How? Look, if they, whatever money they pay you for the car, and then whatever they steal on top of it, the guy does not notice. Yeah, it's true. If the car is supposed to be 100 million, and they come and they say, and the guy said they should pay them, because they can write 150. The man will not even know 50 million got missed. The boss will share the money. I tell the story, the tall reverend told us one of a man, they brought a brand new Jaguar for him for his birthday. Ah, you saw the car. He said, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. And he never remembered again. As soon as he said thank you, he left and forgot a brand new Jaguar there. He never drove it. He never entered the car. He didn't start it. He just, maybe like he opened, he said, this car is nice. I thought, ooh, nice ride. Guys, thank you, thank you. It was his birthday. Thank you, thank you. And they closed the door and never came back there. Virgin, that's why some people don't pray. That's why Asa forgot to pray. The discipline that David used to pray, respect David, that he could pray. David had to time himself. It's prayer time. Okay, what are you praying about? I don't know. I'm just going to pray. Because see, natural resources, that's how it is. It will be so plenty, you don't go to pray. That is why when you now have trouble, that money can solve. Don't be angry. Seriously, look, I can help you with many troubles that money can solve, all right? Yeah, if you want one, one of our brothers was telling me something a few days ago, we were talking. And when he mentioned problems that people that you know are having, I was humbled. Problems that they can't solve. He said, look, anytime they put a lot of resources to solve this problem, he said, it works for a while, but always returns more problematic. Let me tell you, Christian, if you ever encounter a problem that it looks like you can't solve, before you pray about it, please take a day and rejoice. Say, God, huh? Especially when you have been blessed. Say, Lord, thank you. Do you know the last 7 years, I never see serious problem. Say, Lord, paying children's school fees is not an issue. If I don't like my house, I just build another one. Have you ever talked to, do you have friends like this? I have some of them. I say, man, I need to stretch my back. They buy a ticket to Dubai. And you're looking like, excuse me. You know, you're just angry. One day, one of my friends said, Banky, I said, what? He said, I think I want to travel. I said, what's going on? He said, I just need to rest. The pressure is too much. So where are you going? Now, one, he's going to Dubai or Abu Dhabi, one of those places, one. Number two, he plans to fly first class. So I said, why? He said, well, let him just relax. Let him just see how it is. I did my head like, I look like, boy, are you okay? He said, what? I said, can we have an arrangement? Bring that money. We'll share it. I explained to him that. Then within Nigeria here, I will help you. I said, you want to fly to the Middle East to go and sleep? It's my friend, very good friend of mine, who was on the phone yesterday. I said, you want to fly to the Middle East to go and sleep? I looked at this guy like, he said, like, so I think, I said, why don't you just go to Abuja? Don't tell anybody. Enter a hotel. I said, okay, at least go to one of the expensive ones and put off your phone. See, let me tell you, money can send you on an errand. Money will just wake up and just say, why are you still sleeping? Wake up. If you have friends like that, you know, if you know people like that, you're just looking at them like, eh? Now, if some people are like that, which problem can they solve? The only problem they can solve is the one that money cannot solve. If you're like that, you're listening to me. Please, when you do get a problem money can't solve, don't be angry. Don't be frustrated with money. That what kind of thing is this? At that time, thank God. Say, Lord, let me be honest with you. I'd almost forgotten you. Yeah. I have a series of teachings that's not really published. It's on my computer. Do not forget God. I did it. I was writing. I got to like number 5. If you open my computer, if it's a half done job, wait there. I have done job on my computer. It's plenty. There are times I'll just look at the book. I say, who wrote this? And I'll see pages. I'd forgotten. I wrote, got somewhere, got distracted, and never got back. The funny one was this book, Worship and Sex Control. One day I decided to write. Then I found another file that I'd already written, that I didn't know I'd gone far with the book, and I started again. The problem I now had was how to merge the two. So it happens like that. So that's an aside. I have a series of teachings like that. Do not forget God. Yeah. Because sometimes we do forget. You should tell the Lord, thank you, I had forgotten you. Oh, I was almost forgetting. Because you have prospered me so much. Because you have prospered me so much. When they're talking secret insecurity, a lot of people I know, they say they are insecurity, to come to Enugu. From Benin Hill, they'll first fly to Lagos, then fly to Enugu. And I was looking at them, I said, why didn't you just come by road? Ah, the road is not safe. It's not your fault. You have money. Yeah. Because the same road is not safe. On the average, I drive on it at least 4 times, 5 times a year. Sometimes for what you consider frivolous. I just enter the car, just drive, jet. One day one of my classmates was calling me. Just call me. That one remember to call me. He said, please, I need to come to Enugu for something. I said, so? He said, this I should book a flight that the road is... I said, look, listen, my friend. You know, they think bad of us a lot. Those of us who are from here, we don't have a problem. I said to him, I said, my friend, between Benin and Asaba is more dangerous than Asaba to Enugu. Yeah, fact. Humanly speaking. They think that once you cross the River Niger, everybody's IP will be carrying gun everywhere. Yes, honestly. They think everything is unknown government. I said, what do you people mean? What's all of this nonsense? I've been insulting us like this. So I told the guy, I said, listen, my friend, please just do something here. Drive your car. If you can't drive, get someone to drive you. He said, no, that his car is big, he's a big SUV, he's black, and all. I said, okay, yeah, all right. Just safety, just take a smaller car. Get a taxi. He came to Enugu. When he was going to go, he said, how should I go back? I said, it's not a problem. We can get another taxi. I said, but no, let's not get a taxi. Go to these CNR companies that go to Lagos. Let's pay for Lagos. They have somebody wait for you at the bypass. Man, the guy called my aunt and dad. He said, Banky, I don't reach out. He was so happy. He said, thank God I called you. I said, no. Well, thank God you called, but all of you, your problem is you have money. Buses pass that road every day. 100, they're all going up and down. Because not everybody can just want to come to Enugu and finish 600,000 like that. Flight four ways. So when you talk about insecurity for some people, man, this country is insecure. They don't know the meaning. They've never been in the insecure area of town. I met a man once. He said he had lived, he grew up in Enugu. This Enugu. Most of his life, he grew up here. He had never been on Enugu in the express road. Did you hear what I said? A man who was like 40 years old. They were talking. He said he grew up in Enugu. He's lived in Enugu most of his life. He didn't live abroad. He's around most of the time. In different parts of Nigeria, but mostly he's in Enugu. He said he had never been on the Enugu Onitsha Express Road. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Okay, then he must have been in his late 30s. I said, what? He said, no, he has never been on the road. You didn't go to Onitsha to look for something. He said, no. You didn't even go to buy shirt in Onitsha. No. The guy said he has never, the time we spoke, said he had never been on the road. Because I noticed something. I don't travel so much. But that time, anytime I travel, as I enter the plane, he's there. So one day I said, oh boy, I don't travel much. But anytime I travel, you are here. What is going on? That's the only way he travels. To live in Enugu. Even before the days of so-called security and bad road. One day when all the planes have brake failure, you should thank God. I know what I'm telling you. There are times, you know, you can prosper so much, you will forget. When they say it's insecurity, your car is bulletproof, for goodness sake. It's bulletproof. Your gates, let's not talk about your dogs. Your dog, if a lion comes, they will kill the lion. And the dogs are bulletproof. You know why you sleep well at night? It's not because in peace I will lie down and sleep. For the Lord alone makes me dwell in safety. No. In peace, I lie down and sleep because my Rottweilers are dangerous. They eat people. In peace, I travel. What's that quote scripture? Quote 121. For the road. Eh? If I'm going out and coming in. Eh? No, that's not the correct quote. How does it go? The Lord will be with you. You're good. Yeah. For you. You say it from inside a bulletproof vehicle. One day, you should pray that your driver will do you something strong. I know there's one guy I heard of. He was attacked inside a bulletproof vehicle. His driver stopped and ran. His driver stopped, opened his own door, and ran away because they were being pursued. The guy was shooting at them. The car was bulletproof. After a while, it was not a train driver. Because drivers that drive such cars, there was one guy that was attacked in Imo sometime a few years ago. If I credited his deliverance to his driver was too good. Because even though the car is bulletproof, you put it on one spot, they will jackhammer the door, the glass. Eventually, it will break. By the time you empty a few magazines on one spot, it will crack. But the driver didn't stop. No matter what, the pursuit, the guy just knew one thing. You don't stop. Finally got away. Nobody harmed. And he credited it to his driver. This guy is good. But this is my other guy. As soon as the guy had a small from your angel. Those guys just opened all the heavy doors. And picked the man. This is all his way. Look, if that guy is a Christian, he should thank God. It sounds funny, but you should thank God. Say, Father God, I want to thank you because this bulletproof vehicle has failed me. Please, in your life, it is important.
When things that you have or you had and you depended on, when they fail, don't be angry. You should thank God. Said a man, multi-millionaire, American man, has only one child, a daughter. She was getting married. He ordered a brand new Rolls Royce for the wedding. They finished church, they came out, the car did not start. You hear what I said? You don't get it. Brand new Rolls Royce. They packed it, it is my only child. She's getting married. I will drive her in a Rolls Royce, brand new. They ordered the car, had it delivered the morning of the wedding. They finished church service, time to go to reception. Yes. Wash. Wash. A Rolls Royce did not start. If you are a Christian, you are like that, please don't be angry with the company. Stay there and laugh and give the Lord thanks. You know how she finally got to the wedding? She trekked. Oh, God is good. Yeah, it wasn't so far. So they said, oh, let's just make it a walk. So they decided she and her husband to walk down to the reception from the church. That was God. It's called, he knows how to humble those who are proud. I read it today. It's Daniel. God was speaking to Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 4. He said, God knows how to humble those who are highly exalted. He brings them down. He made a Rolls Royce owner trek to her own wedding reception. You know if they had said that we should trek. He said, no. And the annoying part is the poor people are the ones that will refuse to trek. You are feeling so poor. Your trekking is a sign of your poverty, as far as you are concerned. So if Ebuka wants to marry you now, and I say at the reception, from church to reception, you don't need to look for Kawu. What do you mean? Now you see who they provoke anyhow. Because the guy said we trek. Okay, now, billionaire don't trek now. They should die. It's not a story we are telling Nigeria to use to preach the gospel. Brethren, when you have to trek, trek with joy. That's what I'm saying. You should trek, be happy. Trek. Just do it like, say, look, the reason I'm trekking is not because my father doesn't have cars. In heaven, he has many. But since he did not send any, we shall trek. We know he has many, don't we? But he didn't send any. No, he did not. So what do? We walk with joy. Because in our minds, you know, we know that indeed we are rich. You see, when you're feeling poor, you know, you feel everybody's watching you because you are trekking. Nobody knows. They're all trekking. Nobody's looking at you. What am I saying? Listen, problems are good if we respond to them rightly. When they push you to pray, you should be grateful. You should be grateful. Now, one thing I was saying earlier, you know, God is actually waiting for those prayers. When he has blessed you and blessed you, if he doesn't hear any serious prayer from you for a long time, I'm telling you, many people will not like it. He will send a problem. God doesn't have a problem in heaven. Brethren, I don't know where he gets it from, but he sends it. Yeah, because, you know, when we're learning faith, he said, no, that God doesn't have disease in heaven. How can he send disease when he doesn't have in heaven? The answer is that I don't know where he gets it from. Okay, I don't know. He goes to buy. Abi? Did he not buy a problem for Job? No, let me ask you. Who bought problem for Job? He bought it. He bought it for Job. He said, Satan was just passing. Say, Satan, how far? Satan said, we're just running to and fro yet. He said, as you walk up and down, did you consider myself a Job? Satan said, Lord, why are you bringing up the matter of Job? We've left the matter of Job. The matter of Job is pretty, difficult. It's a pretty difficult situation for our kingdom. You surrounded him when we look around. There's trouble. So there's one guy next door. His name is Joab. That guy with the pommel lamp all the time. I've considered that one and I enjoy him regularly. God said, okay, come back. Leave Job small. He said, go and meet my servant Job. Satan said, Job, I know why you are taking care of me. He said, okay, who brought problems with Job? It wasn't Satan. It was the Lord. Because Satan made it clear he had given up on Job. Because God said, okay, I will remove the protection to this level. Then you do the rest. So that doctrine will present. I said, God doesn't have a problem in heaven. I don't know where he gets it from, but he sends it. But he has only one purpose. That's where I'm going. He never sends problems if they will not kindle faith in you. Now, you may refuse for it to kindle faith, but that was his purpose. When he sent Wasa,
He made it clear to Asa. You should have prayed. Look at what he said. Let's open to it. Let's read the story from Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter. Let me just go down to that area where the story is. Go to chapter 16. We have already told many a part of the story, so let me not go there. So let's just go to the prophet Hanani that we referred to. So after Asa did the things he did, at that time Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Aram and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Aram, can you see the what I said earlier? It's the army of the king of Aram that escaped. Meanwhile, Baasha was the problem, and the king of Israel, that the army of Israel against Judah. And I reminded him, were not the Ethiopians and the Lubim, that's the Libyans of today, were not the Ethiopians and the Lubim an immense army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. Verse 9 says, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. He said, you have acted foolishly. Indeed, from now on, you will surely have wars. What was God saying here? What I expected Asa to do was to rely on me the way he relied on me before. And the Ethiopians and the Lubim, they conspired, they came together against Asa with about 1 million soldiers. I was reading about it. An immense army. Asa looked. He had only about half of that number or less. He said, nah, I can't do this. He went and prayed. And God routed them. We find all of our scriptures. When they came against Jehoshaphat, the same thing. Jehoshaphat went and prayed. 3 nations came against Jehoshaphat. 2 of them, at the end of the day, they conspired against one. When they finished that one, the 2 of them now quarreled among them and now finished each other. Jehoshaphat was just looking at war. He was looking at a fight. All he did was to gather the spoils of war. And I mean, 3 days or so, he was there gathering spoils of war. The point, he prayed. The point is what? He prayed. You know, let me tell you another thing about this life. People like to teach us how not to pray. Let me explain. There's a seminar this weekend. Please, everybody be around. We are going to be teaching about retirement. Retirement. How to prepare for retirement. If you get, when you get there, Muslims use those principles. Hindus use those principles. Atheists use those principles. And Christians gather, sometimes church hall. And nobody says they should pray about it. Let me give you the word of the Lord. Don't prepare for retirement. Did you hear what I said? Yeah, the way people do, don't bother. Pray about retirement. Commit your time of retirement into the hands of the Lord. Can I just ask another thing? And do not intend to be tired. Say to the Lord, may I never be tired. Lord, make me productive all the days of my life. According to your word, that says I will be old and yet I will be full of sap. He said, in old age, I will be like the palm tree, productive all the days of my life. Pray like that. Do you know? At least I know 2 people that you know also, that you know the company. That was after retirement that they founded the companies. One of them, Mary Kay Ash. Many of you fine faces I'm seeing here. Mary Kay is on your face. At this age, you put up your hand. You know. Because some of you want to say, ah, pastor will say, I should put up my hand now. You will not ask how much was my offering in church last Sunday. Yeah, because if your offering is less than your pancake, you should know that there is a problem. It's true now. Why are you looking at me like that? Ah. Mary Kay started her company after retiring. That thing made her technically a billionaire. Same thing, McDonald's. You've heard of McDonald's? Yes. Yes. So, please, don't let anybody. You know, some of you, women, that's when you now start a mugwo all over the place. You are praying that all your guests will be born like that.
abandon your husband, be going around. You are now a nurse, a neonatal nurse, helping your children. Sometimes somebody else at the cancer center, her own child is done born. You volunteer. Go and do omugwo for your neighbor. It's not necessary. Do you get my point? Don't prepare for it. There's nothing glorious about all I'm doing is going around doing omugwo. I'm not saying it's bad. Did I say it's evil? Are you going to go to hellfire for doing it? I didn't say so, but please, it's not a glorious thing. You can retire and God, you see, prosperity in this life is a gift of God. God will just say, okay, okay, come. Now look at that, go and do that, I will bless it. God will just say, look at that, go and do it, I will bless it. It's after you've done it for 4 years, you realize that the business does not work, but your own has been working. If you are taking counsel from anybody ahead of time, they will have told you, don't do it, oh, it doesn't work, because this person did it, it failed. But your own, after 5 years of doing it, the business does not work, but your own has been working. Why? Because success is what? A gift. It's a gift. Prosperity is a gift. God will just give it to people. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, you see people building hotels in Enugu. The hotel industry is booming. I was talking to Pastor Kimde the other day. Somebody who owned hotels in Enugu and Abuja was telling Pastor Kimde that, look, we want to sell. The loss is too much. Yeah. That constantly they are losing money. There's no business that they can just do. When you see everybody doing something, once you see everybody doing something, most of them are failing. They don't know yet. I know what I'm telling you. Sometimes you see one business, booming. Go and check it. The people are being ruined one after the other. But they don't know. Do you know it's possible for you to be doing business? You don't know you are losing money. Most people are very bad accountants. They don't know they are losing. The other thing that they are getting money from that helping them, their friend will now misinterpret and say, see where money is. One of my friends owned a studio in Enugu at the time. Shortly after I opened the studio, he bought a car. Very fine two-door ride. Beautiful. One in town. Literally one in town. The only one I saw in Enugu. And he was telling me, he said, people will go and open studio because of him. He said, they did not know that where he got the money to open the studio from was where he got the money to buy the car. I'm a witness. He never made money from that studio. He never did. And we're laughing about this. People are copying him now. They go and open studio because he opened studio and bought a car. Sit down there. A lot of people doing business, they are failing. They just don't know. So in life, back to what we're saying, instead of going to go and learn the trade for the trick for surviving retirement, brethren, what should you do? Go and pray. Like I added the other thing to it. Look, don't move to the village. What did I say? Yeah, don't move. Don't get, okay, now I'm not retired. Now go to the village. They now give a title to Ichie. Then it's true now. You now be going around. Because you are so jobless, you'll be setting quarrels. You turn yourself to an arbitrator all of a sudden. When the youth people are causing trouble. You have no work to do, so they will not come to your hand. Now break cola before we discuss this matter. Joblessness is terrible. They now give you one red cap, you put it on your head, and you now come during wedding, you expect special seat from the village. I'm just warning you now. Just pray to God to help you. That's my first message, all right? What God expected when the problems came was that these men, of course, you see Asa here, and later Hezekiah. All God expected was that they will pray. When problems come into your life, do what Hezekiah did. I said something earlier, let me reiterate it. God is actually waiting. Let's just paint a picture. It's not very accurate, but it gives us a very nice mental image of what's going on. Just think about God. He's sitting outside. Then his children now come and say, Daddy, we are ready to go to the mall. And he says, I'm waiting. He said, we'll soon go, I'm waiting. Daddy, what are you waiting for? I'm expecting a phone call. And he keeps waiting. You know who's waiting for? For that, you know, that kind of thing. That's why he's waiting for prayer. So what I say, the truth is that you tell the children, you see, I sent somebody to go and teach this guy to pray. He should be praying about now. So I'm waiting for him to pray. We can't go out yet. Just think about that. That's how eagerly he waits for people to pray. There are times people have problems, they are running up and down. God help them now. He said, he hasn't asked me. He said, but he said, all he has been doing is, all he has been doing is talking and panicking. I keep on saying this thing. It sounds sometimes like a joke when I say, but I'm, of course, you know it's not a joke. It doesn't sound like a joke. I mean, literally, to make it look serious, book an appointment. Say, look, can we talk about this at 12 midnight or 1 a.m.? I want to wait for everybody to sleep. Like, I keep on saying, it is not a time. But I like the idea that you booked that appointment and you spoke as if, you know, it's something you have to tackle. So you go to sleep, you set your alarm. 30 minutes before that, the alarm goes off. Good. I told the Lord I'll pray at 1. Then you go and brush your teeth, wash your face, just to get you awake. Have a bath if you have to. Even dress up. Not serious, not you don't have to wear a suit or agbada. What I mean. Then leave your room, go to the sitting room. Now, all of this is what they call faith extenders. Just to behave as if you have an appointment. Get on your knees to pray. Or stand like Hezekiah and face a wall. The facing wall is what Hezekiah did. Say, Lord, yes, I said we need to talk. I need help. There's a story I tell again and again about one of our brothers. He said he listened to Ben, Anatomy of Prayer. He lives in Canada. This was many years ago. He's not one of the recent migrants. Long ago, he moved to Canada. Then, you know, not now that my Canada is just help. People come. We want people. It was before those days. So he said he listened to Anatomy. His mother had tried several times to come and visit. He has invited his mother. They always deny the woman the visa. Then he listened to me preach like this in that series we titled Anatomy of Prayer, which I preached more than 15 years ago, I think. It should be close to 15 years. He said he sat on the steps in his house, leaned against the wall, and said, Lord, please, I want my mother to visit. Give her a visa. They called me to tell me the testimony. So I just sat down there and just said to the Lord, please. You know, I've told you, see, this one Pentecostals, we have to stop it. We're going to speak to Visa right now. We're going to speak to Visa right now. We're going to speak to Visa right now. And you're running up and down. He said he sat down on the floor, I think on the steps, and just leaned against the wall and said, Lord, please, I want to beg you for something. Give my mother a visa. I want her to come and visit. Next, she applied. Bam, they gave it to her. That's why he called me and told me the testimony. Book that appointment, like I said, and just tell the Lord what the problem is. I said something last time. At a point in time, write it in details. When you're done, roll it, burn it, do the ashes like this, and blow it away. Like God, it's in your hand. Because Hezekiah went to the temple with his own letter. You write your own problems. When you finish praying, Lord, these are the things. You can bring it. Lord, the first one is that, you know, we're supposed to do this in the office. It's not working out. Please, can you send help so that this will work? Or another thing, you could give us a better idea that you bless. No, you just talk like that. You strike it off. And the other thing I want to tell you about, Lord, is, my children, look at the matter. This. Then you tick it. Then you continue. My car is kind of old and giving problems. Last time I checked, you know, when I bought this one, the car was like 2.5 million. And I said, okay, I think I have 4 million. I should be able to buy another one. I went to the market. This one is now 8 million. So the newer version of it, dear Lord, it says 15. Let me not lie to you. You know my bank account. Even that 4 million, said, I'm owing Chinedu 400,000 out of it. So, Lord, say it like that. So please, Lord, I can't afford it. Right now, I don't have the cash. But I need a car. I need it. The kind of car I would like, I think 4 cylinders will not be good. I need something a bit more powerful. And really, the road around our area, we'll pray about it later, but for now, it's not very good. So I need something a bit higher up. I've seen around the roads around, this car will be nice fit for the need I have right now. So any one of the three you pick, or anything that looks like them. It's not going to say, be specific. Don't deceive yourself. What did I say? You can never be specific on what you don't have the detailed knowledge about. What do you know about cars? You're a driver, you're not a mechanic. You're not a dealer. This I have prayed over the last many years, and the Lord has answered. There was a time I prayed, I told the testimony before, the kind of car I wanted, God decided to replace, to give me a brand new one instead. The man wanted to buy me a used one, did not buy it. Sorry, we couldn't come on an agreement because needed his money cash, and I did not have. One brother just saw me and said, my company can buy a car for you. I said, how come? He said, you pay us 40%, then you spread the rest over this period. I said, what's the interest rate? When he mentioned it, it was like half what banks were charging. Let's do it. Then one day, you can ask for Reverend. I just called him. I said, I photocopied my ID card and signed a paper for him. I said, please go to Port Harcourt. Go to Dana Motors. Collect a car from them. And he walked in there. Hello, I'm looking for some person. He gave the person the paper. Come, sign here. They gave him keys. Started a brand new car and drove it to Enugu. I had not paid half of the money. Ask him. See, he's sitting down here. He was the one that went to Port Harcourt, went to their office, collected the car. I just gave him a note. I told the guy, I told him who would come. Me and the guy talked on the phone. I told him who would come. He said, okay, I should give the guy, I photocopied the driver's license and wrote a note on it. And they gave him a brand new motor car to come and deliver to me. You know, what I prayed for and planned for initially was a used one, which I did not buy because I could not afford. So when someone said, be specific. I said, I cannot be specific on what I don't know about. And okay, let's say you are specific. You decide to be specific. And you specifically ask the Lord for, because this is how your faith, where your faith can carry. I don't know you, but let's assume your faith can only carry 2015 Honda Accord. God now brought a 2024 Toyota Camry. And I said, God, this is not what I prayed for. Are you going to say that? So I always tell people, if God will bring something else different from what you asked for and it will be acceptable to you, then don't be specific. If you can be sure that you will take nothing else, then be specific. So the Lord, I will ask the Lord on the road. I said, Lord, where are you going? I went to my friend's house, my son's house. Went to deliver me and these two angels. Went to deliver this 2024 model Camry. The boy said, that's not what he prayed for. I said, Lord, what did you pray for? He said, it was 2015 Honda Accord. I said, Lord, wait there. I hereby ask you for 2020. After that, I said, Lord, please, you and the angels, come down. Different medicine. So that's what I mean by, look, this is your, be specific. There's no need. Know exactly what you want. What you want is, I used to drive a four cylinder. It's a bit too small for this reason. And then I need to be a bit higher off the road. All right? Lord, color doesn't matter to me, but I don't like these ones that have this kind of matte. Just talk about it simply. And since this is my 4 million, cannot do it. If the problem you have, so if the money you have cannot solve the problems you have, what do? It's that money. I'm telling you. Say, Lord, since this cannot solve it, you know, last week, this brother asked me for 200,000. So I shall dash him 150 out of it. You know, the other day, my younger brother said his phone is bad. The one he wants is 250. Let me just give him money. Since I'm not buying again. But by the way, Lord, so. Now, what you're asking the Lord for, is four times the money you have. Please, I'm begging somebody, just ask. They don't charge for asking, do they? And when you finish, give the Lord thanks and go and sleep. There's a testimony somebody told us some time ago. All right? There was a man who gave somebody money to help him buy a car, import a car. Some of you may have been there. Days turned to weeks. Weeks turned to months. Months turned to maybe a year and more than a year. This guy, whether he went to church, somebody preached, he now said he doesn't want anger. He doesn't want animosity in his heart. So he called the man that had his money. Said, that money, I just want to let you know that I'm no longer expecting a car. You can have the money. You know, that guy had sense.
He said, please. All right. Let me refund your money. The guy said, no, you don't. I didn't call you because I'm angry. I called you because I'm no longer angry. So that everybody will have peace, will remain friends. That money that I gave you for that car, maybe a down payment, I hereby dash you. You can have it. The guy said, no. Before he knew, he got another. Bam! That guy had wired his money to his account. He took the money and wired it back to the guy's account. Maybe you don't get my point. I said, I do not want the money anymore. And he meant it. He left it. He said, I don't want trouble. I beg. This guy is giving me a headache. That shouldn't be the car and the money. That week, please, who remembers the story? That week, he went to work, right? His wife was given a brand new car at work. He also got a car in his workplace that same week. It was not planned, though. He didn't do what he did because he was... No, he just said, I need peace of mind. This is a revelation of God. I don't want trouble. Take the money. In a way, God met his need and met it double. Please pray. What did I say?
Pray.
When you finish praying like that, in Jesus' name, I pray. Go and look. You don't like the house you are living in? Just... Please, don't lie to God. Father God, I want a bigger house because of house fellowship. Don't lie. You are not starting a house fellowship. You know, this lying is not good. We just feel like we have to make God look feel like there's a spiritual reason we're asking for things. God is not angry with you you enjoying yourself. He's not angry. He's not angry with it. He's not angry with it at all. God only goes to deeper life. Listen, he goes to all kinds of churches. Some of you that think God is a member of Chosen. See, I have seen God in House on the Rock. He has gone to Chosen. He used to be in deeper life. He's still there. All right? I know some churches doesn't go to. I can count one or two or three for you. But he's an Anglican. He's a Catholic. I'm telling you, at least churches I know, he goes to Methodist Church. He goes to, there are churches God goes to. All the down there is Boogaloo. I'm telling you, Drew. Everybody comes to church. Luwe. The other churches God goes to, this is everybody saying, now praise be our God. This is how they are singing. And God will come, wear his choir robe, collect the song, and join them. God goes to the village church where they beat drums. You understand? And he goes to the one that the pastor comes floating in the air. Again, pastor's gone. No, is it this? No, sometimes we have this idea that for him to do anything for anybody, you have to look and sound spiritual. Say, Father God, I'm just thinking of a bigger house because, there's fellowship. I'm trying to, my house cannot be used for house fellowship. And God is looking at this. He said, look at this foolish girl. House fellowship. You. Since when? I believe that thing. Tell the Lord simply. Lord, I don't like a tight house. When people come, the house is crowded. I need space of my own. I want to be able to read. Where these children? No, one of our brothers said, he used to say, it doesn't like a big house. It doesn't like a big house. They decided to come and visit me. Say, Pastor, some of you have met him. See, when they came to my house, I think my children, some of them traveled that, I don't know. But the house, anyway, I gave him my boys their room. That's where he stayed. He was there with his wife and his kids. You understand? Of course, they have space. And where I'm going is that, my mother was around the same time with, I think, one of my sisters. And they didn't see each other for 2 days. So one day my mother climbed up and said, they say your friend is in this house. I said, yes. Let me see him now. And I called him. My mother wants to greet you. Meanwhile, he will come out, sitting room upstairs, sit down, watch television. My mother is downstairs. That is everybody. See, I have never... I'm not saying it's good. I hate running into people. I open my door, you almost bump into me. I'm coming out of my bedroom. Then I get to my own toilet, I'm knocking and waiting. You see, I'm not saying it's bad. This thing I'm telling you, since secondary school, I was in boarding house in secondary school. I displayed these traits. I had a corner in the dormitory. Do you know, after some time, I told a friend of mine, no, come and take the corner. I went to the open, the area that was more open. And I was in secondary school. My mother would say, I remind her of her father. That the man liked everything big. Do you get what I'm saying? The brother said, after he stayed with us for about a week or so, he said, when he left, he went and told another brother, said, I'd like a big house. I said, look, he said, I have converted him. So there's nothing, tell the Lord the way it is. Don't come and lie that you want to start church in your sitting room. Look, you can do it in your yard. It's okay. Under the mango tree. Church is all right there. If that's the reason why you want to do it, it's fine. I'm not saying that's a bad reason. I'm just saying don't feel like you have to be spiritual about this thing so that God can listen. If you simply tell him that, dear Lord, there are scriptures for it. Enlarge the place of your tent. It's not in your Bible. I tell the Lord, look, my friends are going to be coming to visit. I don't have to displace my children all the time. Say, dear Father, for these reasons, I'm asking you, please, give me a bigger house. Now, another thing you see, unbelief, like we began to talk about last time, unbelief is the reason why God can't do it. Now, what you heard is not what I said. Let me say it now that we saw you know what I said. I'm trying to define unbelief. What is unbelief? It is those reasons you tell yourself why this would be difficult for God to do. What's unbelief? Remember that car we're talking about? It's 15 million. You had 4 million. Unbelief is when you keep on reminding the Lord that the car is 15M. That's unbelief. Faith is when you tell the Lord, it is 15M, but I don't have the money. You do. That statement is good. You make it again and again. Lord, this car may be expensive, but I know you can afford it. It's not like you don't talk about it at all. The Bible says concerning Abraham that if you read Romans chapter 4, if you read King James, say he did not consider his own body, but read every other translation. What the Bible says, Abraham considered his own glory and his own body, but in respect to the glory of God, he did not waver in unbelief. That is, he considered his body as good as dead. Then he looked at God who made the promise and said, I will continually look at your promise so that I will not waver in unbelief. So faith is not that I don't know the bad things happening. I know it also. Which brings me to the point I wanted to start with. Have you heard it? You know, I started by saying fear is good. Yes. You know, I started by saying that. It sounds like I'm opposing scripture. Because the Bible says what? Fear not. We have been told that there are 366 fear nots in the Bible. I've never counted. I have not done the personal count. They said there are 366 fear nots in the Bible. One for each day, including a leap year. There's a spare leap fear not to use during a leap year. So there's one for each day. You say, okay, Banky, you said that fear is good, but God said we should fear not. Now let me now give you the balance. This is the balance. Anybody that says fear not must have the power. Do you get my point? If a dog is charging at me, and you are running away and say, fear not, something look. Do you follow what I'm saying? What nonsense? What do you mean fear not? You look at you are running and telling me fear not. Look. I will stone you from where I am. But if the dog is charging at me, and you run towards me, and you are saying to me, fear not, and I wonder like, you are coming closer. Then you put yourself between me and the dog and say, fear not. You know I will calm down. As the dog gets closer, shh, stay. And the dog stops and sits down and wags his tail. And you turn to me again and say, I said, fear not. The next day when you say, fear not, I will stay there. Do you follow my point? Now, the reason why you will not fear not, the reason why you will fear not is because of who said it. You are getting my point? When there is fear, it's very good. Like I said, you take it to the Lord. And when you live there, you hear what? Fear not. That is when the scripture becomes valid.
You can't be looking at fear every day and say, fear not. A lot of people, I realize, and I'm part of the problem in that area. I used to do this before. Let's take Nigeria as an example. I will argue with people and show them what is good about the country and what is bad about other countries. A few years ago, I realized that I was not telling the truth, or I was not expressing the truth in what I was saying. That is not the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing. Why I keep seeing good around me is because I'm looking for good. If you have wrong eyes, you will keep on seeing what? What is bad? What is wrong? And why I keep on seeing wrong is somewhere else is because that's what I'm looking for. But the Lord had to help me realize, that's a few years ago, that why you are doing what you are doing is because you trust in God. And I'm not saying as a matter of bragging. I remember very well as a single man. There's nothing happening in this country that's new. It's almost a racial thing and a national thing. It's not about what is happening. It's a mindset of the people. Running away from this country is not new. Andrew Don't Check Out was in the 80s. Then they call it Japan. It was called Checking Out. It was in the 80s. I went to university around 89 when I got to the clinical classes. Most of my lecturers were gone. They were gone. Then medical professionals moved mostly to the Middle East. Few went to UK and US, so very few. But Middle East, they moved massively. It's nothing new. The attitude I have now began around that time. By 91, 92, 93, I knew I wasn't going anywhere. By 93, let me come to 94, because I finished NYC towards the end of 93. By 94, I was certain I wasn't going anywhere. Didn't have anything. Naturally speaking, no prospects, and like the reference, no plans. The one reputation I had was sincerity. Women know. I didn't know how to try to tell anybody a lie. I don't have money. I'm not rich, and I'm not planning to be. No, look, ask my wife. I want everybody ahead of time because I don't want pressure for my soul. Everyone's saying, hey, this is not what you tell me. I didn't tell you anything. Didn't tell you nothing. Didn't tell you anything. I didn't tell you anything. And I made sure I told you ahead that I did not tell you anything. See, me and you are walking on the road. Me and this girl walk on the road. Now, so this is the plan. This walking on the road. If you don't like it, keep walking. No, I'm very, very, very serious. The reason why I did that was I don't want pressure. One of our brothers, you know, he still says that to me till today. He wrote an article about me on my birthday last week. He quoted it, that one of the greatest impacts I had in his life, when I told him that they were, I've forgotten how many hundreds of thousands of cars in Lagos. And I did not have one. He said, you know what it means? People say, what? I said, it means I do not have one. I don't have one because I can't afford to buy one. There's nothing spiritual about it. Do you know? He said he took so much encouragement from it. I did not say cars were bad. In fact, I used to play a game. I'll be honest with you. I lived somewhere near Obanikoro. So that Obanikoro overhead bridge, I used to climb it in the evenings. All right? I walk slowly. They're nasty. I'll be watching because it's over Ikorodu Express. I watch cars pass. Pum, pum. And I used to brag that show me a car for 2 seconds. I close my eyes. I give you the brand. I give you the year. And I was right in my estimate at least 85% of the times. The car will just pass. Let me just see it for 2 seconds. I'll tell you that's 85 model E-Class. I'll tell you. Then that one pass. I just look at it. I close my eyes after that. 84, Bluebird. Nissan. I love them. I lived with my auntie who was dealing in cars. I knew about cars. But I didn't have one. Do you know why? I couldn't afford it. There was nothing spiritual. Don't say, there's certain keys you press. I didn't have any key. I wasn't pressing anything. Look, I just couldn't afford it. And I took my life like that. And I told, look, no babe should worry me. No, you know what they call babe. You don't know what they call babe.
Okay, no chick should disturb my soul. Okay, no sister should disturb me. The Lord is good. You know what I realized then? I wasn't saying what I was saying because of common sense. It was because I literally had prayed to God. One song we used to sing those days when you go to Winners, I'm sure it's other place, but that's where I learned it. Call of home and it's bright, I must get there. My future is bright, I must get there. My future is bright. How many people ever sang that song? Yeah. I learned it, I sang it, and I meant it. I wasn't saying future bright, I'm going to be a billionaire, that's not it. I just knew it was bright. I told the Lord, look, money, don't worry about it. Just don't give me a wife, I'll be fine. I meant it. And I found out later that so many of the talk I was talking is because I had prayed. So people who didn't pray the kind of prayer I prayed couldn't see the kind of things I was seeing. Do you get my point? Listen to me, I pray for this country and God listens. Yeah. One prayer I prayed to God long ago. I still reminded him recently. I said, Lord, you know what? Nobody will ever have the mouth to say, I want him. And I said, God, don't do that one to me. That whatever you have to do, don't give anybody the mouth to say it. I want him. I told him. Let the testimony always be, he must have known something we did not know. Let the testimony always be, he must have known something we did not know. Like one of my classmates said, you guys were wise. There was no wisdom, humanly speaking. We just learned to pray. A friend of mine called me a few days ago, something led to it, and told me the problems he was having with his children, or one of his kids. And he said, look, what do I need to do? He said, please help. It looks like you know what to do. And I said to him, my brother, there's only thing I know to do, to pray. And I told him, we'll be praying with you. And he said, thank you. I said, there's nothing else. And he's a good Christian man. He said, because if you are talking about the arm of flesh, I'm frustrated. He said, if you are talking about the arm of flesh, I am frustrated. I said, my brother, the only thing I know to do is to pray, to ask the Lord. There's nothing else. There's nothing else to do. You know, in recent years, I've learned that thing more than ever before. To pray. I've learned more than ever before to pray. I told my children then, when I tell them, have a blessed day. Of course, so many of these things have become normal in my house. Tell my children, you drop them on the road, they are going to school, have a good day. They don't say thank you. It's not a wish. It's a prayer. It's a blessing. I say, you will have a good day. That's what I'm saying. And they would say, amen. That's what they say. I've learned to pray. That's why I said to people at the beginning, I said to people here, listen, if you have trouble, it's good. Because when you have prospered so much, you have rested so much, you will forget. And what God does once in a while is to let you have troubles to remind you. But what you must do is learn how to pray. Sometimes God allows us to get scared. You get a health challenge. You're having your bath. You touch your breast. You feel a lump. Stories. You remember your auntie that died. Oh, my father. Then you go like this. Then your friend say, have you seen a doctor? That's not a good friend. Then, what do you feel like? That's not it. Let all the fears come. Don't tell anybody anything yet. Sit down, soak in the fear. It's important you know everything. It can spread, it can kill, it can do this treatment. It's difficult, but of course. Just let it finish. When you finish, write it down, if you can. And crawl, say, Lord, can we see? I have a problem. 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m. If you can't wait till that time, it's okay, as long as you're quiet. 4 o'clock. In the afternoon, go somewhere quiet. Say, Lord, I need to see you. Should I stand or lie down? Because doctors make people lie down. Remove your clothes and say, Lord, touch it. It's here. I am afraid. Tell him I am scared. And let me tell you, Lord, why I'm scared. My auntie. Tell the story of your auntie. Last week, we were watching television. He said this one. You know, my cousin is a doctor. He said this one. When you compile the whole thing, so that's why I am afraid. But Lord, I have now brought all the fears to come and give you. Then you start telling him about him. You know why I came? With you, nothing shall be impossible. Because the Bible says nothing is impossible with God. I remember we're told, Himself took our infirmities and our diseases. By His stripes we have been healed. Dear Lord, you are the God of all flesh. You keep talking. Do you know, sometimes you, by the time you finish, now you're not, you know, some people are praying, you praise God to hype Him. No, you are praising Him to remind yourself. It's your faith that is being boosted. So now after everything, say, Lord, so, take this thing away. Just say to Him like that. Dear Lord, heal it and heal it completely. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, my experience, a few scriptures might stay in your heart at that point in time. Write them down. Don't forget them. Recite those scriptures every day. That's how you handle troubles. Look, you hear stories. This man's kidney is failed. It's your cousin and there's a gene in your family. The only time you want to sleep, any day you don't pee well, you're like, excuse me. Has it started? Exactly. Have they come? No need. Go and pray. Explain it to the Lord. Then remind Him that there's nothing too hard for Him to do. It's the reason why you have come. Though, you know, people panic and run to doctor. Doctors can kill people. Look, not because they are bad, though. They are the best of all the human beings. But they are still what? Human. They are still human. They are still human. They are still human. They make mistakes. They do so. When you are going to hospital, please pray first. Like I said, look, the only person that can say fear not is the person that has power. You can't be running from the dog and telling me, don't be afraid of the dog. No, if you know how to handle the dog, no problem. You come there and speak to the dog. Stop. So next time you say fear not, I will not have any fear. In the same manner, God says fear not only because He can handle anything. Only because He can handle anything. There is nothing He can't handle. And listen to this. There's nothing He has not spoken and promised concerning. There's nothing. When people disobey God, it's usually because they are listening to their fears. I said that last time. Somebody wants to enter ministry. How will I now finally build my own house? Well, it's not a good thought, but let's leave it for now, all right? Whether it's good or bad. But instead of disobeying God because of that, obey Him and say, Lord, where did you say we should go? We should go in this direction. Preaching the gospel. Amen? Amen. All right, thank you. I said, go, Lord, you know why I didn't want to answer you? The Lord said, I know, but let me just say it by myself, all right? The reason why I didn't want to answer you is because of this, this, and that. But may my fears never stop me from answering you. Lord, these are the fears. Take them and please solve them for me. That's what Christianity, I found that's what it is. You want to marry a woman, or a man wants to marry, that's the one that, you know, marrying a woman is not as fearful as committing yourself to a man. Yeah, you want to marry a woman, you're generally like, all right, it's okay, we'll do well, we'll try our best. But if you are the one they want to marry, hey. You know those who are not afraid? They have their plans. So, see, a friend of mine, I went to the US. He heard I was around. He called me. So, one day came, picked me up, and took me to a restaurant. So, we sat down there and ate. You know, it was a Chinese restaurant, very nice food. We sat down, we're eating, we're talking. The guy took 2 hours. One of the things he told me, he wasn't married at that time, and we're like mates. And by that time, I had been married, I had like 3 or 4 children. No, no. My wife was pregnant with the 4th. So I had 3 children. So, and this guy's my friend, my mate. He wasn't married. So I was not talking with him. We're talking. The guy now said something. One reason why I'm not married. There are a number of reasons, but one of them is that he lives in the U.S. He told me one story after another. Wicked, no. Wicked people. In church, you know, if they were unbelievers, it would have been okay. He described infidelity. He described cheating. That means like financial cheating. He told me two or three stories of infidelity. The type that when you hear, you say, are you sure those guys are born again? The guy told me, say, man, that was why. It's one reason why he's afraid. We're waiting for the food. When he finished talking up and down, talking, and I said something to him. That's what I'm going. I remember very well. I said, my brother, you're afraid? He said, yes. I said, yes. I told him it's good. I said, a lot of people are not afraid. They are foolish. I said, it's foolishness. They just get up and rush into something that angels say that Eli won't write. That's what the Englishman says. Fools rush into where angels fail to tread. He told me everything. I said, it's good. I said, the way you are afraid is a genuine reason. I said, but being afraid, so what are you going to do? And I taught him how to take his fears to the Lord. I told him my experience. I'm ready for this. I said, if I tell you everything is smooth sailing, I said, bro, it's not true. I said, but we keep overcoming with the word of God. And I talked and talked. Now, that's not why I told you the story. It's what he said. He said, Banky, you are the first person that will help me. I've talked to many pastors. They keep on saying, hey man, no, don't worry about what are you worried about? That's what they kept telling him. I said, you should not be worried. Better be worried. Has anybody tell you that about it? They're telling you lies. Remind a few, I think the following year, came to Nigeria, got married. He told me that time. He said, listen, you are the first person. 2 hours, I remember, 2 hours we were at that restaurant that day. He said, this conversation is the first time somebody's addressing the issues for me. And what I told him that being afraid was right. I said, but what do you do? And I told him about taking this to God in prayer. I gave him experiences. I told him how I handle things, how we pray, how we speak the word. And that is what sustains us. My brother said, that's when he had confidence. The following year, I went for his wedding in the way here. And he came down home. So many times people have problems. They want to use that to disobey. And like I keep saying, you see a woman. She's a firstborn. Good girl. She goes to church. First, her mother is a widow. Her father is late. She now went and decided to have 4 younger ones. And she's the oldest. She has 4 younger ones. One is in university. The other, you get my point, secondary school, and one is even in primary 4. You know, if they're all in university now, it's okay. One is in primary 4. One is in GS. The other one is SS1. Not even SS3, SS1. And this guy is not a final year student. When you are saying the Lord is suspecting you, you know that kind of, the Lord is leading you. And she now, one day, he now started telling, you look yourself. Your small hustle. Just the start. And now dragging leg. Next time she calls you, you know, before, you go, don't answer the phone now. You look at the phone, you let it ring out. You call the second time. Just before the last ring, you now say, hello? Were you busy? I was busy worrying. Oh, and vice versa. It's not only men. It happens to women too. Do you get my point? Now, it's a man that's considered, but you get the scenario I'm trying to paint. Listen. Let me tell something about God. He gets angry. You hear what I said? He gets angry. And when he's angry, he destroys people's works. Look, that man, you know we Pentecostals don't like preaching this thing. I sound as if I'm a wicked person when I say it. As if I don't understand. God is a God of grace. God is the grace of God. God, Jesus is not a lamb. Lamb of Judah. Jesus is just a lamb. A lamb. It's not a lion. John was smoking something when he saw the lion. How can he be a lion? Jesus is a lamb. Look, don't listen to that nonsense. Though. Jesus is a lion of the tribe of Judah. You know the lion? He tears his prey. He crouches down. He springs.
And people don't like it when I say he springs on even Christians who disobey him. He gets angry. One reason why he gets angry.
Okay, let's look at it. Who destroyed the whole nation of Israel in the wilderness?
Answer me now. Was it the devil? What was his reason? Man of God. You, answer me now.
Speaking English, unbelief.
Well, speak it the way. What was the reason? We just say unbelief. It's not unbelief like that. Oh, this man of God is speaking English for me. Huh?
No. Why this one in the wilderness? No, it wasn't murmuring.
Okay, I want this. All of you are right in one way or the other, but even this man of God is correct, but I want you to say it the way it is.
Okay, let me say. They were afraid to enter the promised land.
That's it. Is that not what he took and does? He said, these people have conspired against me. That was when he said it. He said, they conspired against me. What was it that they did? They said, the giants are in the land. We can't enter. And that annoyed him so much, he told Moses, I will kill everybody here. And he did. So anybody who's 20 years and older will be buried in this wilderness. Let them start roaming around. They roamed around till the last person that was 20 years or above was dead. He said, now, time to move forward. Go and read that story, please, in Numbers 13 and 14. You will know he gets angry. And the annoying part is that what annoyed him was not... Look, do you know, in Baal of Peor, when they joined themselves to Baal of Peor in idol worship, he was angry. 23,000 died, right? It was a bad thing. It was idolatry. But the day they said, we can't enter, he killed everybody that was 20 years and above. When do you think he was angry? Phineas could stop the plague. Moses could stop plagues. But once he got angry that I said you can enter, and they said we can't enter, he said, Moses, sorry, there's no begging on this matter. Everyone that is 20 years and above who made a conscious decision to disagree with me when I said they can enter is dying inside here. I've told you, better follow God and die. It's safer than for God to say, I said, and you say, but. Eh? God said, what is that? So that is why you cannot allow your fears to help you make decisions. Your fears can only make you pray. Look, that's the only valid thing for believers. Your fears can only, for to be valid with God, it must lead you to prayer. It must not lead you to any other decision. Oh boy, the one I was telling the story about the girl, remember? I told a guy who wants to marry a girl who has four younger ones, some of them in primary school, the mother is a widow, that kind of thing. God says, so don't marry that girl first. If you have one month of joy in your life, I'm not God. I'll give you metered doses. You will smile for 1 week, you will cry for 3. See this problem you don't want to solve? You will have solved this one for 15 years. I will have ended it. Now I'm going to give you problems for 50. When you have your own children, there's none that will go to school without you begging for money. People will say, "Banky, you are being wicked." I'm telling you how he is. He's in your Bible. See, he created us to face challenges. He gave us prayer to use. So when we don't use the prayer, he gets angry. He said, "Oh boy, assume your name is Steve or John or whatever, you know, whatever." When you saw that, come to God. Go. Like, you know, this is my midnight or 2 a.m. prayer. That I could, okay, wake up at night and say, "Lord, Zada is very nice. Oh. Good girl. It's not often you see good sisters like that. And my heart is drawn to her. What's her?" Please read my book. Should I say yes? When people tell you that I want to go and pray, they only went to prayerfully consider. I'm telling you, it's not often time they hear from heaven, my daughter. No, God does it. Look, his voice is not like that. Say, I heard. I know what I heard. You didn't hear anything. Look, all this hearing here. Look, then come on, leave that thing. Most of us only go to go and pray. Do you understand my point?
with consideration, Lord, you see, oh God, I forbought, you know, that but is what you bring to prayer. So that guy I was talking about, God says, there's no problem. Come and pray about it. Dear Lord, I love Sister Ada. And really, I will like to marry her. And I prayed about it. My spirit, God knows the way you feel. I feel like this is the person you'd like me to marry. But, Baba God, have you seen problems? The last time, she even told me that her mother is diabetic. Who would they buy insulin? And his mother is due to retire in the next 3 years. Dear Lord, my own school fees I never pay finish. I go there. Say it like that. I say, Lord, anyway, that's human fear. So I brought the fears to you. Please, can you help me handle the fears? I really would like to go ahead and marry your daughter, Ada. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Go back next day. Buy. This is Nigeria. Anybody buy rose to come to your house and who rose help? They are selling gold in the market. You are buying rose. You never see smartphone. A guy, go and buy rose. Nonsense. This is Nigeria. We don't buy rose for anybody. We buy gold. Do you get my point? We buy gold. We buy smartphone. Rose. Even the Bible. All flesh is grass. The glory like the flowers of the field. The flower withers. The grass fades. Is this not your Bible? Please, though. Before gold can melt, Jesus has to come back. Do you get my point? So when you are going to a woman's house, don't carry rose. They don't want rose. You see this, their triangular earring. They like it. Buy earrings. Buy rings. You know, buy things. Don't be... You now hold a pack of rose. Watching American movies is your problem. These movies you are watching. What is nonsense? Carry rose call. Please buy something genuine. If you can't buy anything, buy meat pie. It's okay. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is that we African ladies don't want expensive flowers. Is that okay? And don't go and pluck free one. It's worse. That one is worse. The Lord is you. Please buy something valuable. Is that okay? Anyway, I'm matched there. Ada, I was just praying yesterday. Now you can wax spiritual. There are times when you start waxing spiritual. After praying, the Lord was now leading me. I said, Lord, to where? Lord, to where? The Lord said, my son, go to Ada's house. Ada, I have come as the Lord commanded. So, I said, what did the Lord say? I would like to spend the rest of my life with you. If you're one of those that watch film, put one knee down. I don't believe in that, but you can go ahead and put one knee. You can do that. I saw one joke. Every day I see why God banned April Fool. The guy nailed down for one girl and they brought us a cat, April Fool. The girl said, well, thunder from him. The Lord is good. The one I'm making go next day, say what is there, and tell her the truth. I don't know how rough it's going to be, but we are going to overcome. Simple. Just tell her the truth. Say, I don't know how rough it's going to be, but we are going to overcome. You know what? I'm telling the truth. Within 10 years, you'll be telling this story and laughing. Within 10 years. Within 10 years, you will have carried the load, and God will have strengthened your shoulder, and you will have delivered the load, you will have succeeded, you will have helped people. Yes, you wouldn't have, in fact, you won't use the expensive phones, the iPhone 16, when your friends are using, you will not use. 24 Ultra, Samsung, you will not use it too. You probably buy a car 2 years later than you plan to buy the first one. Maybe. You always want to live in a big house. You live in a smaller one for some years. You may have to roll out mattress. You may have to roll out mattress into your sitting room at night for some people to sleep. Yes. But 10 years, 12, everybody will grow. Look, we were sent to solve problems. We were sent to solve problems. We were sent, each one of us, to solve problems. You can't run away from yours and be blessed. You can't. A friend of mine told me a testimony. True story. Of course, it's a friend. That is his wife that was telling me the story. Okay. The guy wanted to marry. This really happened in this country. He liked the lady very much. But she had a skeletal deformity. One of her legs was shorter than the other. So she walks like that. This guy's big sister happened to be like their mother. And for that reason, she said no. No other reason. She said no. And the brother followed what the sister said. They just said his mother. And did not marry that girl. He married somebody else. The first two children he had the same deformity. Fear God. See, a member of the family was the one telling me this. I've told you, you can't run away from trouble in this life. Oh. If you have trouble, carry it and come and meet God. Dear Lord, this is the problem. My next message, I won't stream. So I can tell you for more things. See, please, those of you streaming, come and see her shouting, yes, sir, here. She doesn't want you. Oh, the Lord is good. I just feel like saying to you again. God has spoken. My plan today, all right, it didn't work out, but you know, we keep doing these things, was to read the scriptures that he has used to say, fear not. God's fear not is not about you being not being afraid, even though you shouldn't be. His own fear not is about, I am taking charge. Do you get my point? This marriage we're talking about, that example that I was giving, carry it to God. See, Lord, these are the problems in front. And then he will say, fear not. Fear not just does not mean just go and solve it. No. Fear not means I am with you. That's his typical fear not. Fear not, I am thy God. I will not forsake. I will never abandon you. Fear not. Don't worry, you will not go through this alone. When he says fear not, it means I have stepped between you and the dog. There's a lie, let me quickly debunk it. That people say, you know, my father was not rich, he was helping people. There's nobody that gets poor for helping people. For whatever reason, God didn't shine his blessing there. But it's never because he was helping people. I always tell the story of my parents-in-law. When my mother-in-law in her days would tell me stories, sometimes, you know, my father-in-law is talking, you hear things. You're like, You carry this amount of load? There are people I met, my wife will say, my cousin, they are not really cousins because her grandfather was still having children when her own father was having children. Some old men should behave themselves, but... And he left all the children behind. And my wife's dad happens to be a firstborn who had 39 younger ones. I have an auntie. My auntie used to say that. He said, look, your father-in-law does not need to invite anybody. His family members are enough for any event. And really, he said, no, that his family people, they are enough for every event. After all, my wife comes from a family of 70 children. Sorry, my wife's mother came from a family of 70 children. 70. Different mothers. Yeah. Sit down there. So, I've seen people that solve problems. So, now three children, we say, me, three, you lose heart. Your heart has failed. Your liver has failed. Only your kidney is still working. ordinary three children that they gave you the place. I look at these two people. My mother-in-law just married when her mother died. So being from a polygamous home, and she's also a first daughter of the woman that died. So she went, packed all her younger ones and brought to her husband's house, all minus one. Three people followed her home. Is it? One, two, four. Is it? And then at your house, I can't argue with you. I'm just counting them. Okay, yeah, three. Followed her home. My wife will tell you that growing up, at night, there's people everywhere. Somebody's on the couch, somebody's on the floor, they are rolling mattress, people are everywhere. Because it's a three-bedroom, as if flat or bungalow. It's a three or four, a small house. They had to extend that at a time. From there, when they moved to their own house, that was where I met my wife. First time I entered the compound, the man said, pass around the back. I said, please, I'm looking for Susan and so person. The gate might open. He said, okay, go around the back. The door at the back is open. So as I walked, I looked to my right. It was a swimming pool. That's the house they moved to. Then when my children will be going to Benin, the last thing my mother-in-law will do is have the swimming pool cleaned because of her grandchildren are coming. That's the house they moved to for the first time. 9 rooms. So somebody will come and tell you that you are helping people while you are poor. No, you are wicked. It's why you are poor. It's not because you're helping anybody. See, this God we serve is faithful. He's a good God. The Bible says he will not forget your work and the love you have shown towards his name, in that you minister to the saints and you still do minister. Does he forget? Let me end my message. See, don't run away. What did I say? Don't run away. Why he gets angry? Why he gets angry is that I could have helped you. I sent the challenges your way because I know I will help. I know I will help. You're using your own method to solve your own problems. Now you don't want to marry a good woman because she has problems. So who will help her? How does a hen and a tail that's behaving like tail that doesn't have a head? Is I'm the head and not the tail. But you are behaving like a tail that does not have a head. And God does not like it. He doesn't. He says, if you have a problem, just get on your knees, talk to me about it, and we handle it together. Let me tell you this part of it. Don't run away from problems God commanded you to solve. Don't. Don't run away from problems. I don't care whether it's a national problem, it's a personal problem, it's in the society, it's in the church. Don't run. He will be angry. See, if God gives peace, nobody can give you trouble. If you go and look for peace by yourself, he says you will lie down in torment. If God gives you peace, no one can give you trouble. But if you go to look for peace by yourself, he said you will lie down in torment. The scripture, let's just read that and I close with it. So I wanted to read the scriptures where he said, fear not. There are so many of them, but we have heard the word of God today. It was Isaiah that was speaking. Yeah, Isaiah chapter 50. He said, who is among you, verse 10, who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant? Yet he walks in darkness and has no light. So let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Please, that's an instruction. Saints of God, trust in the Lord and rely on your God. He said, behold, all who kindle a fire, who encircle themselves, yourselves with firebrands, say, walk in the light of your fire and among the brands you have set ablaze. But notice this. This you will have from my hand. You will lie down in torment. That's the word of God. said, this you have from my hand, you will lie down in torment. What am I saying to us today? Let's face the challenges. The God of those challenges is waiting to be gracious unto you. He's waiting to be helpful to you. He's waiting to give you his peace. Bow your heads and give him thanks for that. Just say, Lord, we thank you. Just say, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you for the word that you have blessed us with this evening. Take a moment, please, and give the Lord thanks. Take a moment and give him thanks. Take a moment and give him thanks. Again, hopefully God helping us, we'll read those scriptures we'll plan to read next time. Our Father, we thank you. Now take a moment and just give the burden. Give them to the Lord. You can still do it later, but have a practice now. Say, Lord, these are my fears. These are my worries. These are my fears. These are my worries. Say, Lord, these are my fears. These are my worries. Just lay them before him. Then say to him, Lord, please let me not walk in my own fire. Let me not walk in the fires that I have kindled with my own hands. Any plan I'm making that's not of you, please, can you just help me and frustrate it very early? Like Ezekiah, frustrated early. Ezekiah had his own plan on how to placate, Sennacherib, the king of Assyria. The man said, no, I won't collect. So fear came upon him and he went to pray. He sent to Ezekiah, as he sent to Isaiah, and he went to the temple. So he just asked the Lord, Lord, that which is not pleasing to you, that I want to use to solve my own problems, please frustrate it, I ask of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. All right, let's rise to our feet and share the grace. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Please bless two people around you. Say to them, this is your season. The second person. And one for yourself. And of the power of God. Amen. All right, child of brethren. God bless you.